This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This BFM Budget 2022 special is brought to you by Ma Sing.
7:47, Tuesday, November the 2nd. And as usual, we're continuing our discussion on Budget 2022. Now, we shift our attention this morning to whether the budget did actually deliver for half of Malaysians, which is women. Because a slew of initiatives were announced. Some of them include free basic feminine hygiene kits to be given monthly to 130,000 teenage girls from the B40 group, 11 million ringgit allocated to subsidise mammogram tests and cervical cancer screening tests, compulsory female directorship for all public listed companies.
Several programmes and foundations to boost women's participation in the economic sector and to earn income from home, an extension of tax exemptions of up to 3,000 ringgit for the nurseries and kindergarten fees for working mothers. But the question, you know, Shaunee, is are these initiatives the right level of ambition and priorities to address gender inequality? And how challenging will implementation be, right, to execute all these initiatives?
Yes. So to help us understand these initiatives, as well as the general principles of gender-based budgeting, we speak to Anis Farid, who is the Research and Advocacy Officer at the Women's Aid Organisation. Thanks for joining us this morning. Now, the first question, does this budget really reflect gender responsive budgeting principles?
Hi. Okay, good morning. Thank you for having me. So to answer your question, Engender Consultancy and WAO initiated the Gender Budget Group, which is a group of 20 CSOs advocating for gender responsive budgeting. So we're following the budget very closely this year. So while the budget does address gender issues in certain areas, including violence against women, employment, health, and social protection, it was definitely not gender responsive. So when we talk about a gender responsive budget, what we mean is a budget that looks at its impact on girls, boys, men, and women. Gender budgeting notes the differences in situations, roles, contributions, and the needs of different communities and strata of society. So it's not just about separate allocations, but considering how existing allocations can be given in a manner that addresses different challenges faced by different people. For example, a single mother will face different challenges than an M40 double income household. This is not to downplay the importance of the allocations that were made that you mentioned earlier. For example, the allocation to D11, which handles domestic violence, child abuse, and sexual crimes, and including bringing on 100 new officers, is very much welcomed by WAO. However, as a whole, the budget could have engaged with gender better because gender inequalities permeates all spheres of life. There's a lack of understanding on how certain groups are impacted differently. So, for example, the allocation for mental health, right? It's a 70 million ringgit allocation to bolster psychosocial support services. But it also doesn't consider how women and youth are more disproportionately vulnerable to mental health issues. It doesn't take into consideration the burden that gender-based violence adds to this. So it doesn't aim to address the specific support that's needed by women and children to make mental health more accessible for them.
So when I hear you, really, you feel that it's really not enough then, right? What the budget has come up with, it's basically touching the surface on the broader issues. But when you dig one level lower, it really doesn't address some of these very specific areas then?
Yes, that's correct.
So can I just go into a specific initiative, for example, right? Like the quality of childcare assistance, right? Is that 3,000 ringgit tax relief sufficient?
Okay, so one of the biggest barriers to women's employment is a lack of access to childcare. So while there is this 3,000 ringgit childcare tax exemption, childcare costs can be 3,000 ringgit a month in some areas, depending on how many children you have. So how effective? So when you talk about childcare tax exemptions, it works to allow women to go back into the workforce. So when you think about this 3,000 ringgit, it definitely is not enough for some women. If they're deciding between being a stay-at-home mother and going back to the workforce, 3,000 ringgit might not be enough. And then if you look at the further issue, if you zoom out, then you need to talk about the underlying structural issues in general, such as a lack of affordable childcare centers. This needs to be addressed in tandem to tax exemptions. Research by the National Child Data Center has shown that Malaysia has a shortage of over 80,000 childcare centers. So this issue is not just about offering tax exemptions for childcare, but also about having affordable childcare centers in Malaysia.
Now, we do know women have been disproportionately affected by COVID-19, taking on the primary care roles. So do you think the budget has done enough to drive and encourage women to rejoin the workforce then?
So when you look at budget 2021, there was no emphasis on the way women's employment was affected by the pandemic. And overall, as we've seen, women's employment following the pandemic has been slower to recover. This is especially true for more vulnerable groups, such as single mothers. So research by UNFPA and UNICEF has shown that in B40 communities in Malaysia, the single mother group, their unemployment rate is around 15% compared to the national unemployment rate of 5%, according to the Department of Statistics. So when you compare budget 2021 and budget 2022, budget 2022 does attempt to encourage women to rejoin the workforce with special considerations for women who have not worked for 365 days, single mothers and housewives. And this is very much needed. It's very much welcome. But then if you look at the picture of women's unemployment holistically, right, women are more disadvantaged compared to men in the short term because they've been dropping out of work more as a result of COVID, as well as the long term because of our historically lower labor force participation rates and wages. So imposing a one-year requirement might disadvantage certain groups of women who have had unstable employment following the pandemic. Women's patterns of labor force participation is very much tied to other aspects of their lives, and the picture of their unemployment patterns must be viewed holistically. So the question remains, like, did they really consider all the challenges that women face going back into the workforce after the pandemic, including the childcare issue that we spoke about previously?
So, you know, Anis, in your view, then, what would you have liked to see in budget 2022, specifically on addressing women rejoining the workforce then?
I think a good first step would have been removing this one-year requirement because it would have allowed more women to partake if they have had unstable employment since the pandemic, right? That would have been a good first step.
Now, there's also this plan to provide free basic feminine hygiene kits given monthly to 130,000 teenage kids, girls from the B40 group. Is this a step in the right direction, and is it ambitious enough? And I'm curious, how will it be implemented though?
I'm also curious how it will be. But it is definitely a good step in the right direction. This is like the first time that period poverty has been addressed by a budget. Usually women's health issues in the budget have been limited to mammograms and cancer screenings. So this expansion of the scope to period poverty is it's a good step. As a pilot program, I think it is ambitious enough because we don't know what the implementation risks are yet, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a good way to get a feel of how further rollouts and expansions in the future could look. As long as it's properly tracked and monitored in the year to come, we can get a sense of what improvements need to be made for a smoother rollout, further expansion in the future. But then there also arises a few questions like, you know, who are these 130,000 youth that are going to benefit, right? The hope would be that it goes to the furthest first. The ones who need it the most would be getting it, right? But then how are we tracking that? How have these girls been identified? Hopefully these questions will be answered in the months to come.
And let's just go straight and jump straight to corporate the world, because the government, through the Securities Commission, has made it compulsory for all public listed companies to appoint at least one female director. Now, detractors will, of course, argue that directorships should be based on merit and not gender. So in your view, right, when you take all this into consideration, is this a step in the right direction?
Imposing a quota is a step in the right direction. However, when we look at like the 100 publicly listed companies, right, the top 100, only 4 of them do not have a woman on board, on their board. And then if you look at the rest of the 900 over companies, 252 don't have any female directors. So this means a good majority of PLCs in Malaysia have women on board. So why are we just aiming for one woman?
It's a low threshold then.
Yeah, it's the lowest bar you could possibly set. So even with this, also, there's questions about enforcement, right? What happens to companies who don't hire this one woman? The government needs to be transparent about this, because this 30% quota, it's not new. The 30% club, it aims for 30% representation of women on these boards. So it's not clear how much adding these 252 new women would change, would move us towards this 30%, right?
Yeah.
We're currently at 17.2% of women on these boards. One important issue to note as well when we talk about this is that many women board members are on several boards, meaning that the number of actual individual women within these spaces is still much smaller than statistics indicate. So when we talk about adding these women to these boards, they need to be women of caliber, right? We need to have more women. The addition of these women needs to be more than just performative and cosmetic. It can't just be about, oh, I have to meet this quota, therefore I'm going to hire a woman. One of the biggest reasons to add a woman to your board is because she brings a different perspective and can enact change that wouldn't otherwise happen. Also related to this quota is the fact that it can do well to shift how we as a Malaysian society feel about women in leadership. So according to a WAO study on Malaysian attitudes and perceptions, which is yet to be published, only 38.5% of Malaysians felt that men and women were equally capable as bosses, with the rest feeling as though men were more capable as bosses. And less than half of Malaysians surveyed felt that women were capable of thinking logically compared to men. So the more role models and examples we have of capable women leaders, the more likely these attitudes and perspectives that undermine women's capabilities can be shifted or changed. But again, this goes back to, for this requirement to be meaningful, having a female director must be more than just a performative action for meeting a quota.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Anis Farid, Research and Advocacy Officer at the Women's Aid Organization. Ending on a rather sobering note, that the first thing we need to change is mindset.
That's shocking.
Yeah, that women, that somehow women aren't as capable as men. I'm surprised by this.
I am actually. I mean, maybe I was brought up to think very differently, right? Where there is really your logic, your basis of logic thinking isn't defined by your gender.
Yes.
That is really, for me, earth-shattering and thinking. But there are probably some people who are brought up that way and think that way. And there is some work needs to be done there to change that kind of corruptive mindset then.
Yeah, so it needs to be changed at home. It needs to be changed at school. It needs to be changed at the workplace and also at the government level. BFM 89.9.
This BFM Budget 2022 special was brought to you by Marsing. Reinvent spaces, enhance life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.